Welcome into Lucas Oil Stadium, ladies and gentlemen. Tim May, the 41-year vet, Andy Backstrom, and me, Spencer Holbrook. Fellas, we haven't been here in a while because, well, Ohio State hasn't played in this stadium since 2020. They come here once a year now at this point. They're trying to get to here for a second time in a calendar year. They'll hope to be here the first week of December. If they are, Letterman Row will be here. For now, let's live in the present. We'll be here for Big Ten Media Days. Tim, what'd you learn? We just talked to Ryan Day for about an hour. We talked to Jack Sawyer, Denzel Burke, Emeka Ibuka. We've heard from some people around the Big Ten. Some talking heads have a lot to say about this team. What'd you learn?
Yeah, we are back here for the first time since this exact same time a year ago. But like you're saying, that December trip has been off the calendar now for 3 years. And what I learned was these guys very much want to be back here in December,
yes,
playing for a Big Ten championship. Hurtling, they hope, or they're working for, to get into the college football playoff, gain a bye in that first week, that first round, which would be huge. I mean, Ryan Day has spoken about that.
Yeah.
We all know what the goals are for this team. But this is, as we've talked about a million times, this is as deep a team, I'm talking about roster depth-wise, as I've ever covered at Ohio State. There have been better players at all positions before, but from a depth standpoint, this is it. They know it, and they don't mind talking about it, but they are enforcing the idea that they're taking it. Matter of fact, I'm writing about this for us later this afternoon. They're taking it one step at a time, one day at a time. Sounds cliche, but that's the only way you get to the mountaintop.
Yeah, I even asked Ryan Day. I said, you guys seem to be embracing the expectations more this year than you have been. And, you know, he gave a very good coach answer. But just another thing that we kind of checked off and learned from this team today. Andy, you've got a lot to learn. You've got a lot to go right. We're all going to be writing for the next, I don't know, 48 hours or whatever. What did you learn from the Buckeyes, and what do you want to talk about here?
Well, housekeeping notes, first of all, it seems like everyone's healthy, at least except for T.C. Caffey, who Ryan Day confirmed will be out for the season, had some kind of knee injury in
running back.
Yeah, in the offseason training. So that's the running back position maybe isn't as deep as some of the other position groups for this team. That looks like now four running backs, really, as far as scholarship guys. And T.C., we're wondering if he's going to be put on scholarship. Well, now he's going to be out for the year. And so you're looking at a group with Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, star power at the top. But then a couple of freshmen, James Peoples and Sam Williams Dixon, are going to have to play and are going to have to step up. So there are spots on this roster that are a little less deep, like safety is another one. Wide receiver is super top heavy, but like unproven beneath the top four guys, I guess, even the top three, really. And so there are spots, and I'm curious to see how they play out. And Ryan Day was candid about that today.
I have one big lesson learned, and it's that not even Ryan Day can help himself but smile when he's asked about true freshman wide receiver Jeremiah Smith. Like, I know that we just talked to three veteran leaders. They get the spotlight today, and deservedly so. They've been through the ringer at Ohio State. But guys, like, Jack Sawyer said an expletive. It's actually in my headline, which I'm writing a story about Jeremiah, because all the buzz around here today is about Jeremiah, because of how good he can be. And I asked Ryan Day point blank. I said,
I don't think all the buzz.
No, but when it comes to Ohio State, like, I asked Ryan Day, hey, Ryan, like, you usually temper expectations this time of year for freshmen. You're not doing that with Jeremiah. And he said, why? And he goes, I'm not going to comment on him. I just want to see him play.
Yeah.
And that tells me everything I need to know. He had a big smile on his face. Like, the expectations are sky high, and Ohio State fully expects him to meet and exceed those. And so I'm just letting everybody know, like, be prepared, because that hype train is not slowing down anytime soon. The Buckeyes are very excited for him.
Go back and watch my the Tim May Show podcast when I had Chris Carter on a couple weeks ago, and I said, how soon do you think he'll make an impression meeting Jeremiah Smith? And I'm paraphrasing the question, but the bottom line was Chris Carter didn't really become a starter until, that rhymes, until midseason his freshman year. The best wide receiver I've ever seen, especially at Ohio State. He thinks Jeremiah Smith is going to make an impression, not just in the first week, but in the first game. Not just in the first game, but in the first quarter of the first game. He goes, he's that good. Of course, he's saw him play growing up in South Florida and stuff. And, yeah, the expectations are not unreal for Jeremiah Smith. We all saw him. Ohio State's maybe Ryan Day didn't want to talk about him, but their PR department, in terms of putting out practice videos, certainly didn't shy away from showing him make incredible play after play, just catching the ball. But he's heady. He fits all the criteria for getting to play immediately, especially even on the physical side. He came in, looked like ready to play from a physical standpoint. So, yeah, the opener against Akron, boy, don't sleep on that game.
And then you've got the secondary, who, of course, Denzel Burke makes the headlines because he's Denzel Burke, and he just has a lot to say. And he had a lot to say today about the young secondary, the guys in the secondary, and Ryan Day also talked about Jermaine Matthews. He talked about Aaron Scott. Like, the young guys coming up on this team, not just, you know, we could go individually, but just the young core on this team, Andy, seems to have all of these veterans, seems to have Ryan Day's attention as like, hey, like, everybody knows about these top guys, but don't sleep on these guys. It's an interesting balance right now that they're talking about all the veterans, they're talking about guys coming back, but then you've got these young guys and everybody wants to talk about them. Like, the vibe on this team just seems like off the charts. The vibes are immaculate, you could say.
And they're holding everyone accountable. I think that was the thing that Ryan Day talked about in summer training. You know, like, no one's getting off easy. You know, they're translating what Mick, you know, Marotti's telling them in the winter, and they're putting that into play in the summer. And, you know, as far as the young guys, they're going to play too, because a lot of them are early enrolled, mm-hmm. and they're going to be in a potentially 16, 17 game season where you're going to have to rotate guys in early and often. Mm-hmm. And I think so, a lot of those freshmen will get some action early. There were some national storylines too. I mean, a lot of people want to talk about play calling today, which of course Ryan Day gave up this offseason to Chip Kelly. And mm-hmm. I thought that, oh, he just elaborated on that a little bit more, just with the trust factor. I think the word trust came up a lot as far as wanting someone that was a head coach to be the play caller of his team. And, you know, Chip Kelly is not only a former head coach, but he's also a longtime friend.
Yeah.
You know, somewhat of a mentor, a partner for Ryan Day over the course of his career. And I think that, you know, just seeing that in action is going to be really interesting week one against Akron. You know, he's still undecided if he's going to be in the box, he's going on the sideline. You know, it's still a little bit, you know, murky about how that communication is going to work on third and fourth down, but we're getting a better picture of how much trust there is just between the two of them.
And he hinted kind of hard that there's a good chance Chip Kelly might be in the box because it's
right.
a little more sterile environment from the standpoint of, plus you get to eyeball what the defense is doing to your genius plan, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. right on down the line. But that's going to be interesting to watch that develop as the preseason goes, because you definitely want to get Chip Kelly's input on it before you write a definitive story on the matter. Bottom line is, I did a little interview with Ryan Day, which is going to be in my podcast later on, where mm-hmm. this is a pretty damn good coaching staff, and he knows it.
Yeah.
And as great, in my opinion, as superior, maybe is a better word, a quarterback whisperer Ryan Day is, he understands Chip Kelly is now running the offense from the standpoint of putting it all together, putting in a new, little bit of a different look from a running game standpoint,
yeah.
which they want to see be consistent across the board this year, not just in certain games. And it's going to be interesting to watch how Ryan Day is in on it, but also is aloof,
yeah.
meaning got to let these guys do their jobs. I'm gonna pitch in different things I want to see or not see, but got to let these guys do their jobs. That's why I've got Jim Knowles. That's why I've got Chip Kelly. And it's going to be as interesting to watch Ryan Day this year as it is Chip Kelly.
One of the things I thought was interesting about Ryan Day is that he got a couple questions about Michigan, but I think he got equally as many questions about Oregon and
of
the
course.
New state, the new members of the league. And the thing about this Ohio State team this time around is, like, they see the banners. I'm looking at them right now, three straight for Michigan.
Right.
And that is
– four straight before that for Ohio
And that
State.
Is solely because Michigan beat Ohio State three straight times. Like, you can't play in this game if you don't beat Michigan. I don't know if that's entirely true with the way the Big Ten is structured, the new format. But also, they understand that they have to beat Michigan. But it's more of just like a, yeah, we haven't gotten it done and we need to get it done this year. And it's not a lot of, like, it doesn't take many words to get to the conclusion of talking about Michigan right now. And that's just, like, they're very matter-of-fact about it. While they're taking the time to talk about the expectations and all of that stuff, when it comes to getting asked about Michigan, there's not a lot they can really say, and so they don't really say much. And it's just like, and Ryan Day said it, and Denzel Burke said it even better. He said, yeah, we haven't gotten it done in the last 3 years. We need to get it done this year. And, okay, well, that's that. I don't know how else you really attack that.
I mean, it's kind of simple as that.
Yeah,
like, everyone knows the storyline at this point. And I think also part of it is, too, that Michigan looks a lot different. You know, Jim Harbaugh's not there anymore.
I don't want to interrupt you, but he did get asked about, you know, hey, Ryan, what do you think about Sharon Moore? And he's like, good coach. I don't think much will change. And then he was just like, on to the next question. We don't need to talk about him.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, and nothing really substantial probably will change from a culture standpoint. But,
yeah.
like, you know, roster-wise, looks a little bit different, like a lot different. And, you know, look at the preseason poll that came out. Obviously, that's not fortune-telling, but Michigan's number four in that situation. Still a threat for sure in the Big Ten, and we can't discount what they've done the last 3 years. But you still have to look at it. I think that's also part of the reason why it's not talked about as much today as maybe it was this time last year.
Yeah, and let's get brass tacks. These guys all came back. This game, this team has been assembled. But these guys came back because they're in it for the hardware. I mean, yeah, they want to play together again, the camaraderie, et cetera. You know, they want the gold pants. They want a conference championship ring, and they want a national championship ring in that order. And if they happen to beat Oregon along the way, maybe twice to get there, then that would be the icing on the cake. But without a doubt, that's driving these guys. I mean, walking off that Michigan Stadium field last year had to be excruciating for all these guys. Clearly it was, because the guys who truly matter all came back.
And that kind of brings us back full circle to the end of this video about expectations. Because, again, like Andy said, Ohio State is now the big-time favorite to win the Big Ten. The Cleveland.com annual preseason media poll. Ohio State, 21 first-place votes. Oregon, 6 first-place votes. And there were only 27 voters. So Ohio State is very much the favorite to win this league. Ohio State had 4 guys on the preseason honors because the Big Ten, for some reason, doesn't do a preseason all-Big Ten team. So they just do the preseason honors. There were 12 guys in the league named to the preseason honors. Ohio State had 4 of them. That's a third, if you can't do the math. That's a third of the list is Ohio State guys. The expectations have never been higher, and we just talked to all the Buckeyes. They're embracing it, fully embracing those expectations.
Oh, yeah.
They're not shying away from them. It is a complete change from what we've heard in
but
the past.
Not, yeah.
But they're not gloating about it. They're just kind of like wrapping their arms around it, like it's a, you know, a big expectation-filled teddy bear, and they're just kind of trying to give it a big hug. But that's neither here nor there, I guess.
Okay, the bottom line is to climb, you know, Mad River Mountain or to climb Mount Everest, it's one step
you
at a time.
Hey.
And these guys, I know it's a cliche, but it is true.
You can even climb Mount Hood.
They have embraced the climb. Meaning, as Ryan Day says at the end of my interview with him, I said, when you're standing here right now, is it like looking up to Mount Everest? Or how would you describe this, the analogy? And it's a slow incline. With definitely, you can see the end from here, but you got to go across this part to get there.
Well,
and his point is, he thinks this team has embraced that aspect of it. Don't put the cart before the horse. Any other stupid cliche you can throw in there. They have worked out really hard together. They've played really hard together off the field. Most of these guys, as Denzel Burke said, a majority of the guys are playing golf now because it's a time to get out and, you know, be competitive but also have some fun. They understand what's at stake, but you still got to show up on Saturdays and get the job done, and they understand that probably better than anybody.
Any final words?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, guys. We have barely talked about quarterback. I don't even know if we mentioned it at this point in the video.
Yeah, I did ask who the starter was.
That's right, you did, and I appreciate that, Tim. But we didn't hear much about it, and maybe that's because they're not that concerned about it because, you know, Ryan Day even said the season's going to go as far as the offensive line and the defensive line go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Chip Kelly being there, and as much as maybe they want to run the football this year, like maybe the marriage of the running concepts of Chip Kelly and the passing elements of the Ryan Day offense, like maybe that's kind of tipping a little bit of a hand of just that, hey, like they're going to find out who their quarterback is, but like it's going to be settled in the trenches, not only that game at the end of November, but also maybe the season. And I just thought that was worth noting, like how little quarterback talk there was today, considering, you know, we were in this building last year at this time, and it was pretty much Common Core, Devin Brown for a lot of that day.
Yeah, we didn't talk much quarterback at all. Tim, you brought up the climb. The climb up toward the top of the Big Ten now includes a climb up Mount Hood. It includes a climb up Mount Rainier, Mount St. Helens, the San Gabriels. They're all in the Big Ten footprint now because tomorrow USC and UCLA will be in the building. Thursday, Oregon, Washington, and Michigan. That's a big day on Thursday. Letterman Row.
What's the tallest mountain in Michigan?
Who cares?
Go ahead, Dan.
The tallest mountain in Ohio is High Point.
Who cares, mountain?
In Ohio, the tallest mountain in Ohio is. Maybe we'll head back to Ohio
David
and do another.
St. Clair, baby.
Do another one of these
it's
videos.
It's downhill all the way from Bell Fountain to Columbus.
We're going to get Tim out of here. He's going off the rails, folks. That's Andy Backstrom. That's Tim May, the 41 U of Ed. I'm just Spencer Holbrook. It's been a lot of fun over here covering Ohio State on Big Ten Media Days. We'll be back in this building tomorrow for more coverage of the rest of the league and a little bit more Buckeye talk. Until then, go to LettermanRow.com. We'll see you guys over there for full coverage. We've got it coming by the boatload. We've got a lot of coverage coming to LettermanRow.com.